AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Friends, welcome to a KOA podcast special. No main podcast today, given the boys did that from their glamorous, luxurious hotel lobby in Middlesbrough on Friday night. If you've not listened to that, go back and listen to it. But today, a special with Fabio Wardley, one of our own, Ipswich heavyweight boxer. And on Saturday night at the O2 in London, which is only main event in headlining for the second time, he's facing off against ex-world champion Joseph Parker, the biggest fight of his career. Huge, huge test for Fab. Me and Rossi went down to his gym last week in Martlesham, Suffolk Punch, and just caught up with him. Had a good chat with him about all things boxing, Portman Road, becoming a dad, his incredible journey, the fight against Parker, and potentially what's coming next. If he can beat Parker, and he is the underdog, and he should be the underdog, cause it's a huge test. He would, in theory, then fight Oleksandr Usyk for all the heavyweight titles. What a story that would be. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this chat. Fab was in a really nice, relaxed, chatty mood, as he always is. Feels super confident ahead of this fight. And he, once again, he's looking to put Suffolk even more on the map. Enjoy.
Okay, here we are again then with Mr. Big Fights Only, Suffolk's own Fabio Wardley, Mark Heath down here at the Suffolk Punch Gym. Big fight coming up. Every time I come down here, Fab, the fights get bigger and bigger. This one is certainly the biggest yet. Joseph Parker a week on Saturday. But obviously coming up, before we get to that, we're coming off an incredible event at Portman Road in the summer where you brought boxing back to Ipswich. Got that win as well in movie style. Mm-hmm. Kind of losing most of the fight and then finding that punch. You always find a way to win. How do you reflect on that now with a couple of months kind of removed from it?
Yeah, it was... It was a lot of things. It was crazy, chaotic, memorable, just... wild. It had so many emotions, so many feelings attached to it for so many different reasons as well, because obviously it was in my hometown, in front of my home crowd, at the stadium as well, a place I love so much, and I've had so many great moments there as well for obviously footballing reasons. And then looking at the fight itself, it was dramatic because obviously it wasn't going my way, things weren't working out how like the script wasn't going how it was supposed to in that sense. And then obviously getting the win, getting the knockout, and in the dramatic fashion that it all happened, and the kind of the absolute 180 of all the emotions. It was it was quite a roller coaster of a few weeks. That it was a wild time.
What was it like for you? Because we were ringside and the atmosphere was crazy. I can only imagine what it must have been like for you. You are the man in the arena. Your name's above the door. Mm. Everyone's there to see you. And then obviously the fight goes the way it does. Then you get the win the way it did. It must have been electric. What was it like actually being the star?
Yeah, it was a funny one. It had this weird contrast of like so much familiarity of me being obviously at the stadium, place I've been for so many years, and like being around Ipswich all of fight week, obviously my hometown. So it all felt really comfortable, but in a situation where, oh wait, I've got a fight at the end of all this, and yeah, it kind of added a weird nuance to it. But yeah, the atmosphere there was crazy as well. It's almost, in a way, it's almost a bit of a sad one because I don't, especially when I'm in the ring, I don't get the chance to really soak it in. Yeah. I get the ring walk before and I get the after, but I don't get the chance to pay attention to it in the middle because you're so focused on the job at hand, on the task, everything else just kind of blurs out and all meshes into one. So yeah, it took a few weeks of kind of watching videos back and watching the playback of the fight and stuff to really kind of look at it and go, oh, look, that was something special.
And incredibly, in typical Fabio Wardley style, that wasn't even the most dramatic thing that happened to you that week, because a few days later you become a dad. Your missus, heavily pregnant, was ringside, and you seem to live in this sort of movie existence. I was thinking the only thing that would have made it more of a movie is you knock Cooney out and then your daughter's born sort of ringside and you kind of introduced to the world. But how has that been, being a dad and sort of getting into that life?
Yeah, look, that's been fantastic. A whole a whole different challenge all in of its own. But yeah, I've absolutely loved it. It's it is a funny one because everyone always says to you, "Oh, like you don't know the feeling, the emotion, all of it until you're a parent." But it couldn't be any truer. It is really the best thing that's ever happened to me. I absolutely love my little one dearly. She's the best. Even though she can't say anything or really do much at the moment, she's the absolute best. It's so much fun to just have her around. So yeah, it's been a great few months. Don't get me wrong, it's had its ups and downs. It's not the easiest. Yeah. And that's a massive credit to my missus as well, because I jump after about 8 weeks or so, I was jumping back, straight back into camp and training and things, and she has to shoulder a lot of the responsibilities in that sense. So she's fighting her own battle in that one, but she's smashing it. She's doing really well.
And I always wonder, as a professional athlete, clearly rest and recovery is really important to you. Now, I haven't got kids, but I'm led to believe that when you do have them, you don't get a lot of that, a lot of rest, a lot of sleep, that kind of stuff. So how does that dynamic work as someone who's building up to a big fight?
Yeah, look, you just make it work. You find ways to get more for it. You just make more out of a day. You know, kind of little spaces and routines where you can get a bit of rest, or you can get a better sleep, or here you just having to go to bed a bit earlier, or just tick things off. And it's just something you have to kind of consciously pay a bit more attention to, especially when I'm in camp. But also that mixed with my missus, obviously, like I say, shouldering a lot of the responsibilities and that, taking over with the night feeds and all of that. So that just takes that off me, and I just get to lay there and sleep, really. So, like I say, she's powering through it.
And we're building up, obviously, now to the Joseph Parker fight. Let's talk about that, because, as I say, another massive fight, the biggest fight of your career again. First of all, why did you take it? Because you didn't need to. I mean, he doesn't need to either. You're the WBA interim. You hang around, maybe have a tick over. You'll eventually, in theory, get a shot. Now you've put your hand up and said, I'll fight what I think most people would say is the second best heavyweight on the planet behind Alexander Usyk. It's a huge risk. And again, it's another step up. So why have you put yourself in this situation?
That's what I'm in the game for. Like you said at the beginning, big fights only. And there's no point me sitting on the sidelines, at least from me and my perspective. That's not the way I'd want my career to go. And it's not the way I'd want to look at my career and go, oh, well, I took a year off and had a couple of little tick-over fights that no one really cared about and didn't really mean anything for me or my career. There's no point for me just hanging about and just waiting for something to be handed to me. I've always very much been of the notion that I want to go get it. I want to prove myself. And especially probably coming off the Hooney fight as well. Although I won, there were still a lot of questions raised about my ability, skills, things like that, because I was losing the fight. So no better way to kind of silence people and prove people wrong than to pick one of the best people in the division, have it out with him and beat him, and then go, all right, cool, what's anyone got to say after this? Yeah.
What are you expecting from Joseph Parker? Because for me, kind of as a boxing fan, you look at him and you think there are similarities with Hooney. He's not the biggest heavyweight, but he's fast, he boxes well, moves well. Differences, I would say, certainly more experience, clearly. He's been in with, you know, who's who of the best. And also, he's probably got more power with his punches. Is that kind of what you're expecting? What do you see in him as an opponent?
Yeah, look, he's got a good skill set across the board. Like you say, experience probably is one of his main factors in that department. He's been in the game for a very long time. Like, he's only 33, I think. But he's had nearly 40 fights, which is a lot of time in professional boxing. So he's very experienced, like you say, punches hard, quick with his hands, can get shots off well. So he has got a lot of good attributes that we're paying attention to, which we've looked at and we've built game plans for. I think the main thing with him is not to have a plan A and assume it's going to plan. I think me and the team, we've put together a plan A, B, C and D of, okay, if he shows up like this, this is how we're going to look, and if he shows up like this, then we're going to adjust things and change to this. So yeah, look, I think it depends on how he wants to turn up on the night, and what kind of fight he thinks he wants to try to display, and then we'll go from there with it.
And if I had to ask you now how you think the fight's going to go in terms of how it plays out, how would you see it playing out as a kind of fight as a whole?
Yeah, look, I think in spaces it's going to be there's going to be moments of back and forth where he's going to have a go, I'm going to have a go, and we're going to see who lands and see what damage that does. And I think after those, I think in the first couple of rounds, once we've felt each other's power and we've kind of got a ground of where we're going to sit, I think that will set the tone for the rest of the fight. So I think in them early rounds, letting him know that that it's a dangerous place to be with me, to be in range, will set a good tone going forward.
And he has lost before. Obviously, we've also seen him on the floor, so that's got to give you confidence. I mean, you look at your power historically, there's not many more powerful punches in the division. So going into this fight, you have to have that kind of equaliser, and that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely up there in terms of power punches in the division. But like you say, he has been down a bunch, but he has also got up all the time, or at least most of the time. I think the only time he was actually stopped was the Joe Joyce fight. So he's proven that determination, that grit, that look, he does go down, but he will get back up and carry on fighting. So that's something we're taking into account as well, that like, yeah, we're like, okay, cool, we can probably get to him and get him down, but it's not about just getting him down the once. You might have to do it 2, 3, 4 times and kind of put these and stack these things on top of each other and piece them together.
Okay, so that's the next fight. I just want to reflect on your journey, Fab, and I know you probably get bored talking about where you've come from. I'm not going to go over all the white collar stuff again, but your journey is remarkable. I mean, it's really kind of unique in boxing. I remember I've been coming down here for 7+ years, every time, as I say, bigger fights. So I remember talking to you just over there, the ring is actually gone now, it's been that long. When you first signed with Dill, you were 4-0, no one had really heard of you. You're about to fight the O2 for the first time. You told me this is a dream come true, fighting the O2. And you were way down the card. You weren't on TV. If I'd have been able to say, Fab, I've been to the future. By the way, you're going to headline the O2 twice. You're going to main event Portman Road. You're going to win British, European, Commonwealth, English titles. You're going to fight in some of the biggest events ever in Saudi. What do you think you would have said? Would you have been like, actually, I can see that happening? Or would you have been like, you shouldn't be drinking before this interview?
Yeah, I'd have been questioning if you had a heavy night before you started picking up the mic. But I don't know, at that stage, like, and still, to be honest, but all of it was just a blessing. I was just happy to be there. I was just happy to be a part of things. I was happy to be in the mix, let alone having these lofty goals of headlining shows and fighting at Portman Road or fighting out in Saudi and chief supporting to Fury, AJ, whoever else. Like, it was just, I'm in the mix, I'm just on the card. I didn't really care. If you'd have said that, I'd have probably questioned whether you had a few too many the night before.
It's been known. And then if you could go back and sort of talk to that young Fabio Wardley, 23-year-old, fresh-faced young Fab, what would you say to him about what you'd have liked to know about the journey ahead of him?
I don't know. Like, I don't think I'd have really given... This might sound a bit weird, but I don't think I'd have given him any advice. For me, I think the one thing I've maybe enjoyed about my journey is that there's been no way of no one's ever said to me, oh look, this is how you're supposed to do it. It's just been, I've been thrust into it and I've figured it out and kind of found my feet for myself. And I think that's, for me at least, that's really benefited me, because I've been able to just carve my own path and do it my way and not worry about, oh well, it should look like this or I should do it this way. That's kind of been the staple of my whole career, really, since I got into the sport of boxing. But just finding my own feet within the sport and doing it my own way is how it's worked out best for me, I think.
And we can't avoid, I mean, clearly you're not going to look past Joseph Parker, but we can't avoid the fact that if you win this fight, in theory, you'll be next in line for Alexander Usyk, you know, top five, potentially one of the greatest fighters of all time. You sparred with him. I think actually back then you'd just been sort of out sparring with him, so you must have thought about how you'd match up in an actual fight with him.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's been a good few years since me and him sparred and whichever, and I've come on a bit, and he's definitely done some big things in the sport as well. So look, it's that massive fantasy fight that you think about, but right now I'm trying not to delve too deep into that. It's at the back of my mind. Obviously, we know the pot of gold that's at the end of this, once we get through Parker and a shot at the world titles and a fight against Alexander Usyk, is obviously there on the line. But ultimately, in front of me immediately is Parker. We have to figure that out first, get that ticked off, and then I'll be able to allow myself a good sit-down moment and really kind of accept that, oh no, here we go, this is going
to
be it.
Yeah, and what a fight to look forward to if that happens. Just one final question, Fab. Do you believe in destiny? Because it strikes me that your career, I mean, we've had moments in your career, even going back to, say, the Gorman fight, the Nick Webb fight, when you've had to turn fights around. Obviously, the Hooney one's a great example, the Fraser-Clark fight, when it was kind of back and forth, blood and thunder. And you've always found a way to come through. It always feels to me like you're meant to do something, be something. Do you ever get that feeling?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I just... maybe I don't pay enough attention to it. To me, it always just seems like I kind of conquer one mountain and it's like, right, head down, where's the next one? I don't really sit and dwell on it too much. I like don't get me wrong, I allow myself little moments to look back at like going to Saudi for the first time or fighting the Portman Road and things like that, and appreciating how good it was in the moment, but then trying not to get too drawn away by that and almost thinking like I'm the big I am. It was just like, right, head down, what's the next achievement, what's the next goal? Always need a new target for me to be aiming at. So no, destiny's not really something I think. It's just kind of hard work and ambition, really. Keep it moving.
On that note, is it hard to stay grounded because you've come from nothing and, you know, objectively you're a big deal now? I turn on TV, you're all over DAZN, you're all over my social media, people know who you are, you're making good money, you're turning left on airplanes, you're driving a Range Rover, all that kind of stuff. Is it hard to kind of not get too carried away with yourself?
Well, for me, I don't feel so, no, because you've met my team and my friends, family and people around me and stuff, and none of them would let me get too big for my boots. So yeah, in that area, if I start running around giving it the big I am, there's enough people around me who are going to give me a clip around the ear no matter how big I am.
Yeah. Okay, right, Parker, then you've already talked about how you think the fight's going to go. You're obviously going to say you're going to win. How do you see yourself winning?
One way or another, I see myself knocking him out. I do see myself getting him out of there. It's going to take a little bit of time to figure out how he's shaping up, how he wants to go about things in the fight. But once I kind of find the rhythm, find the space, I think by the mid rounds, 7, 8, somewhere around there, I think I'll have found my groove quite nicely and I'll start putting punches together.
And obviously we've got to talk about Town. You're going to have some Town players in the audience. They play West Brom, I think, at lunchtime on the day of your fight. Yeah. Last time you fought at the O2, you banned them because they were playing Southampton the following day. Yeah. But this time you're going to have them in the audience. Obviously we're used to seeing Mark Ashton there.
Yeah, Mark will be there. A few of the players will be there as well. Obviously a lot of the back staff as well, they'll all be there. So yeah, it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be a nice double header on that day. A little win at home with West Brom and then watch me do the business at the O2 on the evening time. So yeah, look, it's great to have that support as well from the boys at the club, because obviously coming off that massive fight there at Portman Road and obviously just the way they've supported me throughout the years of from their side, it's nice to be able to show my skills off in front of them.
Yeah, one more, this really is a final question. Movie, your life, I heard you talking about Netflix, white collar to world champ sort of series. You thought about a book? Because I know a guy who could write a book. He's followed you since you started.
No, I haven't. I haven't thought about a book, actually. No.
Well, you know.
Maybe that's one of the other avenues as well. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things go. We've still got a few more pages, a few more chapters to write, and then we'll have a look.
Okay, we'll have a talk. All right, then. Thanks so much, Fab. Best of luck. All of Suffolk is behind you. So go make us proud again.
Pleasure. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.